good morning. You are tuned in to Community Radio, listener-supported KGNU. I'm Maeve Conran, and coming up on today's Morning Magazine, we'll hear from the union representing workers at the JBS meatpacking plant in Greeley. On Friday, leaders of the union representing the 3,000 workers announced that they had received a cease and desist letter from the company demanding that the union stop its campaign about JBS's response to the coronavirus. We'll hear more coming up after headlines. Then, KGNU is one of more than 20 news outlets participating in an historic media collaboration documenting the personal impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. We'll hear from one of the leaders of the collaboration, and then we'll hear our own story, checking in on a mom who is homeschooling her own children, but one of them is on the autism spectrum. So we'll hear about the challenges and opportunities that that is presenting in the COVID-19 pandemic. At the bottom of the hour, we'll get headlines from the BBC, followed by a commentary from Jim Hightower. Then on A Public Affair, the Community Foundation of Boulder County is in for its monthly show today, taking a look at how arts and culture are being impacted by the current pandemic. Then at 9 o'clock, it is media analysis from Counterspin, rounding out this morning's news and public affairs. But first, we'll begin with the latest local headlines. Here's Jamie Sudler.
Outside the Denver metro area, residents of Colorado can begin to shift away from the stay-at-home order announced by Governor Jared Polis about a month ago. Shops will be able to open for curbside pickup. Real estate agents can show homes, and surgeries may resume, as long as all of those follow safety protocols. Governor Polis has relaxed the month-old restrictions, but the new order applies to only about half the state's population. Residents of Denver, Adams, Arapahoe, Boulder, Broomfield, and Jefferson counties are still under the stay-at-home orders until at least May 8th. Officials in these metro counties are waiting until better testing and tracing of those with COVID-19 is in place. In announcing his new relaxed restrictions for some in the state, Polis said yesterday that Coloradoans should still stay home as much as possible and wear face masks in public. Last night, the governor issued a six-page order outlining the new safer-at-home phase of the coronavirus crisis. Under this order, residents will not be able to recreate beyond 10 miles from their homes and cannot gather in groups of 10 or more. He also ordered that retail stores can reopen for in-person shopping on May 1st, as well as barbershops, salons, personal trainers, and tattoo parlors. On May 4th, offices can reopen with up to 50% of their workforce as long as they follow strict social distancing measures. Governor Polis appeared on CNN yesterday before announcing his new executive order. He expressed worry about a second spike in illnesses as about half the state begins the more relaxed, safer-at-home restrictions. Under the governor's order, local governments can revise their rules if they prove to state officials that their COVID-19 infection rates have declined over 14 days. In spite of the governor's order, Weld County commissioners are letting businesses decide on their own if they want to open. The Denver Channel reports that officials released their own guidelines saying the governor's order cannot be enforced. Polis threatened on Friday to pull emergency funds from Weld County, saying he will take whatever steps are necessary to protect the health of county residents. In Boulder County, officials are not rushing toward the next phase of dealing with the virus. Tomorrow, administrative leaders of the Coordination and Management Center will meet to consider the way forward. According to Mike Chard, director of the Office of Emergency Management, they will be looking at what needs to be sustained. The total number of coronavirus cases in the state rose to just more than 13,400 on Sunday, with the number of deaths climbing to 680. More than 2,400 are hospitalized with the disease. This week, state lawmakers and budget writers will start reviewing recommendations for potential spending cuts across all agencies. The Colorado Sun reports that the governor's budget office is projecting lost revenue of $3 billion for the current fiscal year and the next. The possible cuts could be as much as 20%, forcing hard choices for legislators that will impact most Colorado families. The challenge facing lawmakers is that the impact of lower tax revenues is expected to continue for many years to come. On Friday, leaders of the union representing 3,000 workers at the JBS meat processing plant in Greeley announced that they had received a cease and desist letter from the company demanding that the union stop its campaign about JBS's response to the coronavirus. The company wants the union to denounce its statement that reopening the meatpacking plant was a death sentence for workers and that employees might refuse to work. In response, the president of the union issued a statement saying that their members and the company have one common goal, to ensure that the plant is a safe place to work. But the union does not agree that it is safe at this time because all workers have not been tested as promised. We'll have more on this story after headlines. Meanwhile, in Fort Morgan, the Leprino Foods cheese plant was shut down yesterday after a high number of employees tested positive for the virus, including some asymptomatic workers. About 350 work at the facility, which will be closed for at least 5 days so all employees can be tested and the facility cleaned. Almost 140 inmates at the Colorado Department of Corrections facility in Sterling have tested positive for COVID-19. That's more than half of those who were tested. Colorado Politics reports that several protocols have been implemented to curb the spread of the disease, including increased cleaning by staff, and all inmates and personnel are required to wear face coverings, and some inmates are having their temperatures tested twice a day. No deaths at the prison have been reported. A judge has granted more time to advocates of restricting abortion to collect more signatures in their effort to place a measure on the November ballot. Colorado Politics reports that the organization called Due Date Too Late will now have until May 15th to gather the required number of signatures. Earlier this month, the Secretary of State's office said that the group was about 10,000 signatures short. But the judge ruled that the law allows a cure period of 15 days, and he granted an emergency stay, giving more time for circulating petitions. The state secretary of state's office has asked that the Colorado Supreme Court overturn a court's order to place a candidate on the primary ballot for the Democratic nomination for U.S. Senate. Last week, a Denver judge ruled that Michelle Farinha Warren's name should be on the ticket to face John Hickenlooper and Andrew Romanoff, even though she had not collected enough signatures. The Secretary of State's office claims that the order is inequitable and unjust. It's not known when the High Court will act in the matter. In today's weather, we'll have sunny skies with a high of 81. Tomorrow also will be sunny, but a bit cooler with a high of 73 and breezy. Right now, it's about 54 outside. For KGNU, I'm Jamie Sudler.
It is 11 minutes past 8 o'clock. Well, as we heard in headlines on Friday, leaders of the union that represents 3,000 workers at the JBS meat processing plant in Greeley said that they received a cease and desist letter from the company demanding that the union stops its campaign over JBS's response to the coronavirus. KGNU's Claudia Craig spoke with Kim Cordova, who is the president of the Local 7 union that represents the meatpacking workers.
Well, I mean, this is, again, really going to hurt the soul of our workers in the plant. I mean, they have really strong relationships. I think it's going to cause more fear for workers to know that one of their coworkers passed away from COVID. And it leaves people still demanding that they are, you know, that they receive testing. And so, you know, we're really worried about how this is going to have an impact on our membership's well-being, you know, their mental health. And also, you know, we think it's just going to cause more fear.
What are the workers saying to you about how they feel about going into work today?
Well, you know, the plant is just starting up again. So Monday will be the first day that the fabrication employees come back to work. Many of them, you know, were told not to come to work if they were sick. Many are waiting to be tested. They were promised testing by Vice President Trump, Senator Cory Gardner, Governor Polis, and also JBS. And so there's a lot of confusion going around the plant. Many are fearful to return back to work. We still have workers that are sick. We have members that are on ventilators. We have members who are still grieving over their family members that died from COVID.
What are the financial implications for people at the plant if they don't go into the work?
You know, I believe that workers are put in a position where they have to make a decision between going to work, you know, potentially sick, or the economic impact that, you know, these workers, that if they don't go to work, then they don't receive a paycheck. So many feel that they have to go to work in these conditions, you know, or if they're sick, they, you know, if they don't have health care or paid sick leave, the company has offered to pay those that are COVID positive disability benefits, which pays less than a normal weekly check. If the plant, you know, when the plant closed down, workers were only paid 32 hours of pay instead of their normal, you know, normally 40 hours, and any overtime they lost out. So workers all the way around here have been harmed, you know, whether it be economically or, you know, for those that were unfortunate, you know, to, you know, get sick from COVID, or for those that died, or they've seen their coworkers pass away, or family members. I mean, it's been a really big hardship for these workers. Yeah, it is. This is such a hardship for workers that normally don't have more than a, you know, they're lucky if they even have a week's of saving in their account. And then they're going to have to pay the deductibles and the long-term care. We have one worker who just recently was taken off of a ventilator but was released to go home. And my understanding from the family is that they received the first set of bills, and it was $44,000, something that these workers simply cannot afford.
And what was your reaction today to Vice President Pence's assurances that tests will be coming your way and therefore help make the situation more clear?
Yes. Let me answer your question first about the government officials and the company, you know, not keeping their word to the workers about testing. I believe that, you know, the vice president, our senator, the company, and our governor failed these workers by not upholding their commitment to test these workers. This really compromised our membership. They were, they're all worried because this is an invisible threat to them. And especially for those that are asymptomatic, you might be aware of somebody's coughing or sneezing, but you're not aware of somebody's not showing symptoms. So you don't know the danger that's surrounding you. So I feel that everybody has failed these workers.
That was Kim Cordova, who is the president of the UFCW Local 7. That's the union representing 3,000 workers at the JBS meat processing plant in Greeley, Colorado. Speaking there with KGNU's Claudia Craig. Last week, the union received a cease and desist letter from JBS for the union's efforts to ensure workplace safety during the COVID-19 pandemic. As of April 10th, 5 employees at the meat packing plant have died from COVID-19, and this includes 4 Local 7 members. And we're going to continue to follow this story here at Community Radio KGNU. Well, yesterday you may have seen in some print publications a new series called COVID Diaries Colorado. This is an historic collaboration that has seen more than 20 news organizations around the state, including KGNU, participate in an effort to tell the story of how the current pandemic is impacting everyday Coloradoans. I spoke with Laura Frank, who is serving as the leader of the Colorado News Collaborative Project.
It's an interesting start to this story. We, several news organizations throughout Colorado have been having conversations for months now about how could we maybe work together, collaborate to better serve the public. And the idea was, well, maybe we would start in the fall with some collaborative projects, but the pandemic actually accelerated the work, and we realized that what we needed to do was right now, and the public needed information, and that the state, really all of us in the state, were struggling to understand the statewide impact, the big picture of this. And so that's what we attempted to do with this day of collaborative reporting.
This really was about the impact on all walks of life in Colorado, because it's essentially a day in the life of people from, as I said, all over the state, all walks of life. Can it give us a sense of the scope of the project?
Yes, we had 22 news outlets with nearly 100 journalists working, from Steamboat Springs to Salida, from Yuma to Ouray. It was all across the state, and we talked with Coloradans whose daily lives have been disrupted, and they've had to find, you know, kind of ingenious ways to keep things going. We talked with an ICU doctor, a flight attendant, a daycare teacher, parents who had COVID and could not bring their twin babies home until they got better. Just all sorts of inspiring and sobering at the same time stories.
And this was focused in a day in the life style storytelling experience. Why was that the focus of this particular project?
Well, we had 22, as I mentioned, 22 news organizations working together. And each one of them has their own strengths and their particular communities that they're serving. So we thought to be able to capitalize on those strengths and that reach, each organization would tell important stories from those communities. And doing it all in one day kind of was able to put a framework around it that made sense and could take you in a snapshot in one day through the impact of COVID-19.
Now, even before the pandemic, there has been a lot of discussion in Colorado about the future of news media, the future of, you know, collaborative efforts and how things have really changed. Do you think the current pandemic really shines a spotlight on the need to have collaborative efforts, but also the need to have very localized reporting as well?
Absolutely both. That has really, you know, I currently serve as the chair of the board for something called the Institute for Nonprofit News. It's 250 news organizations across the country. And we have seen tremendous increase in website visits for local news, you know, 50% more, 100% more, 300% more people coming to websites to get local news because they need and want information to help them navigate the pandemic and also just to understand what their neighbors are going through and kind of where they fit in the picture. So this pandemic has really brought a spotlight to the need for strong local news and at the same time has really made it more difficult to support that local news because you know, people are struggling financially and businesses are struggling in this economy. So it's both increased the need and in some ways undermined the support. So it's really important for those of us who can to continue to support our local news organizations in whatever way, whether it's subscribing or becoming a member like at your station. It's really important right now.
And do you have a sense of where this could go now that you've had news organizations from around the state, but of all different sizes and genres as well, from community radio stations to large publications to online, you know, print editions, what the potential is now for future coverage?
Well, I think, and I think unanimously, people would like to continue to work in this vein. And I think we would just get better and better of it. You know, at it, we had to sort of really figure out on the fly the processes. As you know, Maeve, the idea for this is less than a month old. And in a matter of barely more than 3 weeks, we were able to put together this coalition of journalists and write these, you know, nearly 60 stories in addition to audio stories and video stories and interactive graphics, which I know are all on your website now. I think we will see more of this and we will just get better at it.
And is there a centralized location? As I said, all the participating news organizations have things on their websites too, as we are rolling out these stories. Is there a central place that listeners could go and find out more about the project and access all of those assets?
Yes, yes. There's a website. It's called Colab News. colabnews.co, as in Colorado.
That's Laura Frank, who is serving as the leader of the Colorado News Collaborative Project. Well, as we heard, this brand new project has just rolled out a statewide news project. It's called COVID Diaries Colorado, taking a look at the day in the life of so many different people across the state during the current COVID-19 pandemic. Well, KGNU was one of the more than 20 news organizations participating. And next, we'll bring you our report, taking a look at the day in the life of one Boulder County resident. A typical workday for Eugenia Brady sees her liaising between Boulder County families and local schools, helping students with developmental disabilities access special education services. Her work with the Association for Community Living gives her insight into challenges facing families who have fought hard for services at school and who are now struggling.
For example, occupational therapy. You cannot do that online. The student needs to be there to get the occupational therapy. The speech can be done at online, you know, but some other services that the students receive, it's not possible right now.
Brady's son, 16-year-old Benjamin, is on the autism spectrum. He himself is missing out on some of these services. The student at Centaurus High School has seen his routine suddenly change, and that too has been a struggle.
He needs the structure. He needs to have a predictable day. And so it has been difficult for him in that regard, and that can that can reflect on maybe how much attention he's paying in class, or how is he able to complete this homework or this paper that he needs to turn in because of the situation that is completely different.
However, Brady also sees how home learning can benefit some students on the spectrum.
And sometimes for this kids, they get so anxious in school and really nervous about going from this period to the next period to, well, I had to turn in these assignments, all of that, but that has diminished.
Local school districts are working to provide special education services remotely. Brady says many are doing a good job, but others may not have the resources to make it work. She hopes the Colorado Department of Education will provide support so students don't fall through the cracks.
Boulder Valley School District over here where I live was very fast to come out with a plan. And I know that some other school districts, you know, during the time that everything was starting to develop like that, they work on plans too. The thing is that for many, many individual students in their particular IEPs, the school district doesn't know exactly how they are going to implement that, and they are following the things that they cannot, that are right now the services that are not being given. They are waiting on guidance from the Colorado Department of Education. So they are the ones who are looking into, okay, we are going for this ride and this new journey that we have. And on time, we'll see how we do accommodations. And as the situation gets better, hopefully, then they will be able to implement and support until we are able to go back to school.
Brady, a single mother, has had to overcome her own struggles. A leg amputation nearly 3 years ago left her wheelchair bound.
It was kind of hard before, and now it's even harder.
On this snowy April day in Colorado, Brady's family in Costa Rica seems very far away. She reflects that one of the hardest things for her is not being able to travel to see them all, including her 91-year-old mother.
We connect through Hangouts and Zoom and all of that, and they are doing fine. But there's nothing like being with family, especially in difficult times.
For KGNU, I'm Maeve Conran. And that was part of the statewide COVID Diaries Colorado project, shining a spotlight on how regular people in the state, people all over Colorado, are dealing with the current pandemic. And we'll be playing more stories from around Colorado throughout the week. And we'll be also posting links to some of the other stories that you can hear and read and find out more about, and that'll all be up at news.kgnu.org. And we have a lot of resources online, and we have information, all of our coverage of the COVID-19 pandemic, information about what the state is doing, the various different orders that are expiring statewide but being extended at a local level. All that information is online at kgnu.org. And don't forget that we also have updates in the afternoon at 2:55 p.m. just before Metro. Just do tune in for those, because we'll have the latest news on what's happening with COVID-19 coming up in the afternoon. And also twice a day we are sharing our local headlines in Spanish. And that's through Facebook or online at news.kgnu.org.
This program is made possible by you, the KGNU listener member, and by Fisk Planetarium on the CU Boulder campus, providing innovative astronomy, science, and artistic programs since 1975. More information at colorado.edu/Fisk or by calling 303-492-5002.
We at KGNU are dedicated to bringing you coverage of breaking news as it happens. You're hearing from experts and scientists telling you what to worry about and not worry about. The reliable information you find here is made possible by donations from listeners like you. The most important thing you can do to support this work is to become a member today by going to kgnu.org. And thank you.